Well, if you'll take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. If you'll forgive me tonight, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to give a testimony. And if you won't forgive me, it's okay. I'm leaving tomorrow, okay? So don't worry about it. I told my wife on the way here, I said, you know, I can go as long as I want because I leave tomorrow. So hate me all you want, okay? If you're bitter, it's not going to hurt me. Okay, so Philippians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be tonight. But I do apologize. I am going to, it's not going to be much of a sermon. I'm going to tell a lot of stories of the times that we have been here and some of the good memories that we've had. So I hope when you hear these stories tonight, these stories are because of God, not because of me. Okay, these are things that God allowed us to see. Some of the good things. A lot of them will be funny, but a lot of the things, some of them, by God's grace, you know, nothing worse happened than it did, okay? So Philippians chapter 4, if you're there, if you'll stand with me, we're going to go to Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, it says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. You know, in a time where... In my mind, it's not a time that I want to rejoice. I'm leaving friends, I'd even say family, loved ones, and we're moving on. You know, God knows best. And it's not a time that I want to rejoice, but we're to always rejoice. And there's a lot to rejoice in about the time that we've had here. So rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And that right there was our youth group motto. Be careful for nothing. Okay, I'm just joking, parents. I'm leaving now. I can say whatever I want. No, I'm just kidding. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that you'd... Lord, help what is said tonight, Lord, to be a blessing. I pray you'd help me to say only what you would have me to say. I pray you bind his devils and his demons and keep them out of here tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a time of rejoicing tonight. I pray all in your name. Amen. If you want to be seated, for pastor's sake, my testimony tonight is alliterated. Okay, so you should be proud of me, pastor. Okay. After tonight, I'll never alliterate again. I'm just kidding. But, you know, for pastor's sake, I'm just joking. So, number one, we see rejoicing. Go to Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. As we look back at our time here at Cornerstone, there is great joy in the time we've had here. Great joy. We've enjoyed so many things. We have so many memories. Good, some bad, but there's so much joy in the time we've had here at Cornerstone. You know, when we first got here, actually, my wife wasn't even with me yet. I got here, and, you know, I enjoyed our first Sunday here. I wasn't even on staff that Sunday. I came, pastor was like, just sit, just watch, enjoy. So I was here that Sunday, and then the next Sunday, I got to minister a little bit. Pastor made me lead singing for the first time in my life, okay? Welcome to Cornerstone, Brother James. Just kidding. I was joking. I think you've done it before. You did a lot better than I did. Okay. And I remember I had like one Sunday on staff here. And by the next Sunday, we were closed down for COVID. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, I'm out the door. Pastor's going to get rid of me. So what purpose do we have for a youth pastor with no youth group? But no, he kept me around. So it was about a week after we shut down for COVID, pastor comes up to me and he says, hey, Blake, and Jacob had come back from college as well. And he comes to us and he says, hey, I want you guys to make some children's videos. Okay. I don't know how to make children's videos. I don't even know how to make a video. Okay. And he says, make some children's videos, make them entertaining, make sure there's a biblical lesson in there, maybe somehow put in a biblical truth. And I was like, how do we do that? And he said, yes. Yes. Do it. We had so much fun making those stupid videos. Okay. The things we did on those videos, Pastor still has them on our website. And I beg him every week, hey, would you just, we can take them down now. We were doing the dumbest things. We were down here in the gym floor and there was Team Blake and there was Team Jake. Okay. We set up this obstacle course and we were crawling around on the floor in the gym through like kids' toys and all that. Okay. All for these kids' entertainment. Okay. But you know what? It was a great memory. Good times. I didn't really love it at the moment, but I think back now and I think if somebody would have walked in as wearing, oh my goodness, what are you guys doing? I don't know. When we first got here, the teens, you know, we didn't have any teen class. And so I started thinking to myself, what in the world are we going to do to get to know these teens? Okay, they're stuck at home. We don't know what to do. So everybody knows of it now. But, you know, we started this Zoom conference call. We did it once a week where we all got together on Zoom and we did activities. I would teach a message and all that. We had the weirdest competition. We had a toilet paper stacking competition. Do you remember this, Zoe? Yeah, and like the person with the most toilet paper and the highest stack would win. That's how we figured out where we were going to get toilet paper, okay? Me and Pastor Lowe, and there's none at Walmart. We're going to Logan's house. He had the most, okay? But we had a lot of good times. You know, there was another, during COVID, Pastor comes up to me and he says, you know, our anniversary is coming up. I want an anniversary video where the church members are kind of talking about the church and such. And, you know, we walk out of his office and I say to Jacob, I say, I'm going to show up on people's doorstep. And they're going to have no idea who I am. Like, they've only met me once. And I remember we went over to Brother Gary's house. And as we're walking up, I say, Jake, you knock. Because he has no idea who I am. And he was like, I'm not knocking. You do it. I was like, fine. So I went up to the door. I knocked. And sure enough, Brother Gary opened the door and said, oh, Brother Blake, I'm glad you're here. I remember that moment. I was like, wow, he actually knows who I am. He's barely met me, have barely seen me. We had a lot of memories from COVID. I know we all have had those stories, but that was kind of our experience of Cornerstone when we first got here. It was fun. It was a good time. There's a lot of rejoicing moments in our time. A lot of fun times, a lot of joyful times, a lot of joyous times. There is so many stories with our teens. And I won't tell them all because we don't have time for that tonight. But, you know, I think back to our first camp where, you know, Logan's here tonight. And Logan was at our first camp. And Logan comes up to me at our camp. He says, Brother Blake, I want you to play basketball on our team for the tournament. They had a 3-on-3 tournament. He said, I want you to play with us. It'll be great. And I was a young kid. I was like, you know, 22. I was like, I got to show these boys I can still do it. Said, sure, I'll do it. Let's do it. Why not? So I said, but hold up. Before you do, Logan, I need you to do me a favor. And very clearly told him, I said, I need you to go ask the refs, make sure it's okay. Logan comes back to me. Did he ever make it to the refs? I'm not sure. He tells me he did. He comes back to me, Brother Blake, they said it's fine. It's great. Go ahead. Jump on in. So we played and we played and we got to the final game. We were in the championship. No thanks to myself. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. But we were in the championship game. And right after our last game, I go over to the bench and I kiss my wife. And the teenagers look at us, the team we just played, and they said, are you married? Well, yeah. Are you the youth pastor? Yeah. You're not allowed to play. And I said, yes, we can. Don't worry about it. We already asked permission. They said, no, you can't. It's in the rule book. They bring me this rule book and it says, no youth pastors allowed. Well, And I was like, well, just don't tell anybody. Okay, guys. And they said, you just outed us. I'm going to tell someone. So they go tell the refs, and the refs come over to us and disqualify us. I don't even understand it. It was a good memory. At least we didn't have to embarrass ourselves. Okay, in the final. That same camp, Mrs. Gusman, Noah comes up to me. He had never, there's this surfing they did at this camp. You can go surfing. And Noah comes up to me. He's like, I've never done the surfing, never going to. It's too scary. The thing looks awful, like no way. I was like, bro, it's not a big deal. Okay, now that I'm leaving, I can tell these stories as a youth pastor. I said, dude, no big deal. Okay, and he's like, blah, 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 I'm going to get hurt. No, you won't. How? It's water. You don't get hurt in water. Never. Not a chance. Oh, my goodness. Well, this guy gets on the surfboard. He never even makes it in the water. He falls off his surfboard and onto the concrete right in front of him, dislocates his shoulder, and it hurting so bad, he was in the restroom throwing up for like hours. And then I had to call his mom and be like, hey, so Noah decided to do this all by himself. I don't know what happened. Noah still hasn't forgiven me for that, but good memories, good times here at Cornerstone. Had a lot of good times. Since I'm on the topic of bad stories about the youth pastor, let's tell one about the youth pastor's wife. There was this activity. The kids, they had to memorize verses. They had to read their Bibles. And every week we were keeping track of their points and based on what they did. And at the end of this, if they got enough points, they got to go to an escape room with us. So we went to this escape room. And when we walked in, it was like a mountain cave. It was like cold, wintry looking. And in this escape room, there was like holes you could like climb in under and then go into this cave and different rooms you can go in. Well, my wife and actually there's Gracie Mosley, they go into this little cave and they walk in there, and there's only really room for about two people. You got to get down on your arms and knees, crawl through, and then get up. And then when you're in there was like clues. Well, while they were in there, there was this guy who popped out as a Yeti. Big old, scary, ugly Yeti. And my wife, like a good youth pastor's wife, grabs Grace, pushes her at the Yeti, drops down on her hands and knees, and crawls out. And they screamed at the top of their lungs. I come running. I see my wife climbing out of this thing. I say, what happened? She's a Yeti. Guys, where's Gracie? I don't know. You know, we've had some good rejoicing times here, some joyful times here at Cornerstone. You know, we've had good times in our youth room too. Good times in our youth room. We played a game at our youth rally where, you know, two people, they would go up against each other and they would pick up a cup. You'd say like hands, knees, toes, and then you say cup, they'd grab the cup. So I was like, let's play in our youth room the next day. We're all in there, and Cooper's not even here to defend himself, poor guy. So we're playing this game. Cooper reaches down a little too far and splits his pants right up the center. And I didn't even know what happened at first. So I was like, dude, are you okay? Nope. Why aren't you moving? He backed out of our youth room, didn't come back. I was like, should somebody go check on this guy? Anyways, we've had some good times. We're going to a youth rally once. And I was driving away. We're in the middle of nowhere. We went out to Ponca City, and we're on the way back, middle of nowhere. And I start hearing the siren going off. And I'm like, oh, there's a cop. I start pulling over. I look around. There's no cop. Well, that was weird. So I get back on the road, get going again, ways down the road, and I hear a siren. There's no cop. And I start asking my wife, do you see a cop? Do you see something with sirens? Like, I pulled over again, nothing. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to drive. Who cares about the stupid sirens, you know? So we just went at it. I just kept going. This siren kept coming up and up. Finally, I look back at the teens. I say, are you guys doing something? Joel was sitting there on his phone, playing a siren noise and just watching me. pull over, turn it off. Pull over, he turned it off. I'd pull over, I was like, Joel? So that's my story to tell you, Mr. and Ms. Mary. His phone needs to be taken away, okay? He needs to be gone. He thought he was the funniest guy in the world. We had some great memories. You know, we've had some great memories with just people here at our church as well. Man, we love serving with our church family here. We've loved it. I don't know, for those of you who've never been involved with this, you might not know, but every year for our youth rally, before we play the games here at church, we would have all our stage workers come over, and they were the guinea pigs. They had to play every single game. And it was my favorite thing of the year. Like, I would torture them. I'd make them play all the bad games. They'd have to do the eating things. Like, and they're like, why do we have to do this again? Well, because this is for God, okay? You're serving God. Now just do it, okay? They come over. We split them on red team, blue team, and they'd compete. And I said, I'll give you bonus points for – actually, I don't think I ever did give you guys bonus points. Sorry, I lied, okay? But we've had some great time just serving with our people here. The other day, actually, it wasn't that long ago, we had a breakfast, and Brother Darrow has been a huge blessing to me and my wife as we've been here. And he will help us with these breakfasts. He'll get up early. He'll come over. And this one breakfast, we bought about 2 gallons of milk. May have been three. And we put them into this, because we're genius, okay? Put them into this mason jar, and we threw all the jugs away. And I was like, everybody's going to drink the milk. No big deal. So Brother Darrow, afterwards, comes up to me. He's like, dude, we have so much milk left. What are you going to do with this? I said, well, I don't want it. I'm going to probably just toss it. He said, you're going to toss it? No, you're not. I'm taking it home. We're not doing that. I am taking it home. I said, okay, that's fine. So as he went out to get his car, I grabbed another mason jar, put a little milk in the bottom of it, and stuck it right next to the sink and hid the old one full of milk. He came in. He was like, where's my milk? Did somebody pour my milk out? And I said, yeah, Miss Rebecca. I watched her do it. She just walked in. You got to go talk to her. Miss Rebecca was so mad at me. Why would you tell him it was me? Why not? Anyways, I pulled it out, and we sang a song tonight. A song is There's Joy in Serving Jesus. I'm telling you, the most joyful times in my life have been from times where I'm serving the Lord with loved ones, with family. And we have loved doing that. You know, I can't leave this story out because of Caleb's sake, okay? Uh-oh, Caleb, you're in trouble now. I remember a couple years ago, we put this kids program together. Me and my wife worked really hard. The kids worked super hard to get this thing together. And Caleb was in the young kids class, and they worked really hard. They had this song, and they had this poem they were doing. And they're up there singing away. Caleb is singing his heart out, doing super good. And all of a sudden, he sneezes out of nowhere. I don't know if you all remember this. He sneezes out of nowhere mid-song, and he sneezes all over his hands, and he just stands there looking at his hands. And the people next to him that were singing just look at him. And then at this point, just Miss Janelle singing all by herself, solo. And Caleb, for the rest of the song, just stood there like, what do I do? What should I do? There's joyful times in serving Jesus. We've had great memories, joyful memories from our time here. Great rejoicing in our time here. There's joy. Rejoicing that comes from serving the Lord. And the truth is this, you know, I'm not preaching too much tonight, but I hope that's not something that you and your family miss out on. Man, there is joyful times serving together as a family, serving the Lord. And man, I hope that's something you make sure that you experience with your family. Man, get your kids involved. Bring them to church. Serve a meal. Do whatever you can. Ask pastor, hey, how can I get involved? What can I do? I'm leaving, so you can do whatever I did, okay? Which is much. Don't worry about it, okay? But for real, there is great rejoicing. There is great joy in serving Jesus, and I hope that's not something that in your life you miss out on. There's something that all of you can do here and be a part of in this church, and I hope that is something you take advantage of, because God is going to bless you and give you memories, give you times of joy that are like no other, in my opinion. Like no other. So we have rejoicing in this, you know, we're sort of rejoicing the Lord always. Again, say rejoice. And then if you would with me, go to verse 8. There's some remembering I'd like to do tonight. Here's what it says. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Man, in our time here, we have got to see God do some amazing works. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that I got to be a part. I'm thankful that God allowed me to be a part. We got to watch many of our teens get saved at camp. And man, there was no greater joy than to watch someone get saved, come to the Lord. And some of the good things, the good report that have happened. I remember when I first got here, Pastor said, Brother Blake, I want to start a youth rally. And I was like, I've never done a youth rally. He said, no big deal. I've done a few. So I said, okay, we'll do this thing. So we start this youth rally. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, if I could get 75 people at our youth rally, I would be thrilled. So I started in April. I started sending out letters. I started sending things out. I started calling places saying, hey, you should come over to our youth rally. I remember I went down to Moore High School. I passed out a bunch of flyers. I went inside. I gave them to the secretaries there. And they said, yeah, sure, we'll pass them out. Probably never did. But, you know, that's okay. I tried. And I remember I was like, we're going to try. We're going to get 75 kids here. And we're gonna fill the room next door. Well, September rolls around, and I remember like the week of, or 2 weeks before, people started registering. And I was like, this is more than 75. I was like, okay, we can do 100. We can fit 100 over there. Maybe 150. They kept coming, and they passed that, and they passed that. And we had like almost 250 kids here that first year. And we had to move over here. That was back before we knew how to move over here. Okay. Setting up chairs everywhere and all that. We didn't understand that our air conditioning wasn't powerful yet at that point though. So it was the hottest day of the year. Super hot in here. But you know what? It was something that God was like, you know what? I'm going to bless this. And that day, man, I remember that day, and I remember, man, God is going to do a work in this youth rally. Last year, we had our youth rally again, and it's a great memory for me. Good. God used our church, and we had our youth rally. Everything went normal. Everything was good. And I went home. I was kind of like, so what? It was good. What's the point, though? And right as about that time I was feeling that way, I have a friend who I went to college with, and he was here at the youth rally. He's a youth pastor. He calls me up and he says, hey, Brother Blake, I just wanted to let you know, as soon as we got home, one of the teenagers came up. It's a Muslim kid. Came up to me and said, I need to get saved. And he got saved that night. Man, good memories of watching God work through us and through this church. VBS is one of my favorite memories here at Cornerstone as well. You know, always had so many kids. They were always wild. They're always too much. But we always managed. And, you know, it is a great memory for me because I remember watching our church come together, serve together. And man, that is such an amazing thing to see. And I'm not getting ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But at that VBS, at one of our VBSs, I remember Brother Terry, he led a boy who was in seventh grade. And when he came in, this boy who came in, he was in seventh grade. They said, "Can he come?" I said, "No, but sure, we'll let him come." And he's in seventh grade. He came in, he went to all the classes, did everything. And the last night we preached a message, pastor did, about salvation. And they split up, everybody went their own ways. And Brother Terry got to lead this young man, seventh grade, to the Lord. And you know, I was excited he got saved. But Brother Terry's face, he was excited. And I remember that. It made me excited. Not just that this kid came to the Lord, but that Brother Terry was so excited about it. He talked about it for the next 2-3 days. Every time I saw him, it was a blessing. We started teen soul winning when we were here. And man, that was a blessing watching our teens just go out, tell people about Christ, just watching them going up to the doors. Are they the best soul winners ever now? Yeah, no. But they learned. They learned how to go to a door, knock on a door, give someone a track. That was hard at first. I remember Katie Krantz, she came with us for the first time, and she was like, "So you just go to the door and you knock?" And I was like, "Yeah, you just go to the door and you knock. It's not that hard." The first door she ever went to, she went up, she knocked on the door, and they had one of those Ring cameras. And it was her and another girl, I can't remember who it was, and they just started screaming at these girls, just screaming through this Ring camera, "You get off my yard. What are you doing? Get out of here. You have no business being here. Take that stupid thing with you. Just get off." It was the first door ever, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, Katie's never going to do it again." She was back. She kept going. It was good. Man, watching people grow in the Lord and follow Christ. You know, I didn't ask these guys this, but in my time here, I think of Jared and Zach. And man, they have grown so much. I'm proud of them for it. And I got to watch that. I got to be a part of that. And I'm thankful for the Lord that I got to be. Watching these kids grow up, man. We when we first got here, we were the junior church teachers as well, and it was a lot. But I remember a lot of these kids who we had are now in our youth group. They're a whole lot more mature now. Okay, Faith? No, I'm just kidding. No, they are. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. But man, watching them grow up. I mean, I've only been here 4 years, but watching these kids grow up, and some of them, watching them have a desire to grow in the Lord, be a part of His Word, man, there's nothing better. So we have remembering in verse 8, remembering some of these good things that God has done in our time here. Like I said, I can go as long as I want. I'm leaving tomorrow. Okay? I'm sorry. Verse 9, here's what it says. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the Lord, the God of peace, shall be with you." I have learned a lot from this church family. The things I've seen, learned, received, heard from this church family is going to move forward with me. And I'm thankful for this church family for doing that. I mean, I already brought this up, but the way our church comes together at VBS and all comes together and works the way we do, man, that is a blessing. People who are willing to do the things that nobody wants to do, clean the bathrooms, all those little things during VBS. Some people had to be security, sit out in the 90-degree weather. and keep kids from running, it's always fun. That's the best one. I've learned a lot from this church. There's someone particularly that, to be honest, I have probably learned more from this person than anyone else. His name is Brother Scott. Man, when I first got here, Pastor would be like, fix the toilet. And I'd be like, I'm from Cambodia. We don't have those there. No, we have toilets. But I was like, Brother Scott, I'm not sure how to fix the toilet. And Pastor just told me how. You want to come teach me? Oh, sure, Brother Blake. I'll be right over there. No sigh. The man gave so much of his time to this church. And watching that and seeing that was a convicting thought to me. Man, he was willing to give so much of his time, so much effort. He taught me how to do so many things. Without him, my house would have never got remodeled. Okay, because I'd be like, hey, Brother Scott, I need you to come teach me how to do drywall at the church. And then I'd go home and do it there too. I'm joking. I did not do that. I mean, that's pretty much how it worked out, but not for that reason. But man, he taught me a lot. And he'd be here and he'd just, as he's working, he'd tell me stories. He'd talk to me about things and he would teach me so much. And you know, in these last few years, one of those men as well is Brother Darrow. And a man who is willing to just drop of a hat, I call him, he says, I'm going to be there. I'm like, I don't even want to do that. But he's like, I don't care, I'll be there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to work alongside you. Willing to give up so much of his time. It doesn't matter what's going on. You know what? He's going to be there at the church to serve and do what he can. It's convicting. The giving of this church has been a convicting to me too. Man, we have so many youth activities that would never happen if this church was not a giving church like you are. Man, the first year, Pastor, he said, hey, so we have this thing. It's called a bake sale. You know, you sell pies and people give money. And I'm like, okay, great. We'll make a couple $100 and we'll do it. And we made these pies and these nasty looking pies that these teens made. I'm just joking. Everything was always wonderful. I don't know, actually. You're the ones who bought them. You probably got home like, what did I pay for? And to watch our church family give to our teens pies going for $100, $200, $300, just so the teens had money that we could take them to camp, the activities we were going to do that year, man, it's convicting. I've learned a lot from this church family. One of those people is Miss Pat, our pianist. Always there, always faithful. Miss Pat has had a huge change in her life, and I'm sorry, Miss Pat, for bringing this up, but since we've been here. Years ago, her husband passed away. And I kind of thought in my mind, okay, we're going to find a new pianist. I don't play the piano. What are we going to do? But every Sunday, she was still right there. Doesn't matter if her husband's around. She decided, you know, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve the Lord, despite my circumstances. Miss Pat, that just watching that has been a huge lesson to me, and I thank you for it. Man, there's so much at this church that I've learned and done, and I want to be honest with you all. None of that could have happened if it wasn't for our pastor. I'm thankful for our pastor. My first call with him, I was a 22, maybe 21-year-old kid. And Jake was like, hey, my pastor wants to talk to you about a job. And I was like, okay. Pastor FaceTimes me, and he's asking me all these questions, and I'm like, yes. Yes. It's like, I have no idea. But he gave me an opportunity. And Pastor, you've taught me so much in my time here. I'm thankful for it. And I truly appreciate it. I love this church family. And I'll tell you what, it is hard to move on. It is hard to go. But God knows. And he's in control. We're thankful for all of you. For the lessons you've taught us. For the good memories, for the rejoicing, for the good things that God has used you to do that we got to experience and be a part of as well. And man, for all the lessons you taught us. And you know, I can go through this church building and I can name names and talk about every single person, but you all don't want me to do that tonight, I'm sure. You want to go home. But I, you know, if I didn't say anything, just know that we love you all. And as we move on, a part of Cornerstone is going with us. And the lessons you've taught us, the opportunities you've given us, the all the things that you put up with us about moves on. I remember our first BBS. And we were these young kids who we thought we had everything figured out. And we had this system down to a T where people would come through and they would get signed up for everything and everything would be perfect. And the ladies came and told me, hey, it's not working. And I said, yes, it is. You just don't understand my system. And they said, Brother Blake, it's not working. Well, try again. And they went through the first day and the second day with it. And they came back. And actually, it was Miss Robin. She came to me and was like, Brother Blake, why don't we try this? And I was like, no, Miss Robin, that wouldn't work. I was like, fine, we'll try it. Sure enough, it worked. The putting, you know, you all have had to put up with us as we've learned and grown in our time here. And I appreciate that as well. Take what you want from this tonight, really, but I hope that you understand there is great joy, great rejoicing, great lessons that come when you are serving the Lord. And I'm thankful for it, but in your family, man, some of the best lessons your kids will learn are not lessons where they'll come and they'll be, you know, in Sunday school. I mean, those lessons are important. But they're lessons where they are out, they're serving the Lord, they're out on the streets, knocking on the doors, passing out tracts, telling people about Christ, being a part. And I'm telling you, there is joy, there is rejoicing, there's memories that come when you get plugged in and you follow the Lord. And you just serve here at the church. And I hope you'll do that. Let's pray. I'll be done. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everything you've given to us, Lord. And Lord, I pray you'd help this testimony tonight, Lord, to have been a blessing to our people. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be a part. I pray that you'd help us to get involved in our church. I pray that you'd help us to get involved serving you. Pray also in your name. Amen. Pastor.